morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, my co-host Greg Bach. Calvin Butenhoff is back on the board after taking several well-deserved days off. Resident young person Calvin, what'd you do? Did you have fun? Did you change the world?
I did have fun. I didn't change the world. I just hung out with the dogs, read, caught up on some reading I wanted to do. Just chill. Some R&R.
That's nice. Doesn't always have to be a big, you know, getaway trip or anything like that. Sometimes you just want a chance to chill.
Calvin, you already changed the world with you just being in it, and you make it for the better. And we missed you. And that's coming clearly from your friend, Chris Bosch.
That's your affirmation for today, yep. Calvin. There you
That's
go.
Our secret affirmation guy, Chris
there,
Bosch.
There you go.
Thank you.
If you ever want to join the show, call or text at 855-75-CIVIC. That's 855-752-4842. Or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and or Twitter. Luke Mather is going to be joining us at 10:33. Going to have a chance to talk to Luke about some things in the news. Very exciting thing we're going to start off with, though. This is a statewide civic media ride into spring contest, and it starts today.
Yeah, it does.
So here's how this is going to work. Through March 29th. So every weekday here across the Civic Media Radio Network, and again, this is statewide, every weekday in the 7 o'clock hour, the 10 o'clock hour, 1 p.m., and 3 p.m., you have a chance to win an overnight stay at Chula Vista Resort in the Dells. Four daily winners, one from each contest hour, will also get an overnight getaway to the Chula Vista. I'm sorry, the four daily winners, so one winner from each hour, the 7, 10, 1, and 3. All of those people will get that overnight stay at Chula Vista. But everyone who enters will then be in the drawing for one of our two grand prizes, including brand new bicycles, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat. It's pretty nice.
One of the things growing up radio listening was, that's not a great sentence, but listening to radio was contests. You'd like 10th caller, 15th caller, number one caller, who has the question, blah, blah, blah. And I always remember the rules were, and if you work for the radio station, you don't get to participate. Now I work for a radio station and I can't participate.
No, you can't. You can't win. So here's how this works. You need to download the Civic Media app. So wherever you get your apps, go there, get the Civic Media app. It is free.
Mm-hmm.
It will stay free. Apparently, in some of the internal discussions we've been having here at work, some apps will actually start charging you after a while.
Oh, that's a bunch of horse malarkey.
Or start tagging on fees. That's not going to happen with the Civic Media app. So what you want to do, download the Civic Media app, and then wherever you are listening across the state, whether it's here, WAUK, or if it's in Green Bay at WGBW, or Hayward, or wherever you are.
Amory.
W-L-A-K in Amory. You want to text the word music. M-U-S-I-C. That is the word of the hour. Text the word music on the app to the station where you are listening to Civic Media, and you're going to be in this Ride into Spring statewide contest.
Another thing, too, is we've done giveaways for Brewers tickets and stuff like that, and that was always fun. But this is like the first, like, big thing. I'm like very excited. It's like, come on, guys, text us.
So
the word is music.
You have an hour. In this hour, download the Civic Media app.
Yes.
You can go to all of the stations across the state, but wherever you're listening, again, whether it's here in Waukesha, WAUK, WGBW in Green Bay, WISS in Oshkosh, go to the station that you're listening to, text the word music before 11 o'clock, M-U-S-I-C, and then you are going to be in this drawing for people every day, picking up an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in the Dells. And then everybody, including the daily winners who texts and gets in, is going to be entered to win one of two grand prizes. And this includes brand new bikes, a 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat.
I can tell you with cool confidence right now, Jane, that the texts are rolling in.
Good.
My goodness. And we're not going to read them. We're not going to say anything.
No.
But I can tell you right now, people are getting on board.
Fantastic. And again, it really is a great app, the Civic Media app. You can call and text directly.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out all the stations all across the state, all 20 properties that we have now on from Civic Media. So I take advantage of it. And again, what was the thing that we first started saying about the Civic Media app?
The Civic Media app.
It probably won't alter the entire course of your life, but it shouldn't make it worse.
Exactly. In fact, with this contest, it may make it better.
That's the whole idea.
Oh my gosh.
That's the whole idea.
Bringer of joy, Jane Matinere.
We always work on it. All right. We are going to start off, though, with something much more serious and located here in Waukesha. And if you are a parent in Waukesha, we'd love to hear from you at 855-75-CIVIC. A great article from WPR, Corrine Hess. This came up yesterday. After libs of TikTok make a post, multiple bomb threats have been directed at Waukesha Middle School. Again, this is an article in WPR from Corrine Hess that she posted yesterday. And I had also seen something that a friend of the show had emailed to me at janesays@civicmedia.us related to this as well. So here's kind of the situation. In the last 2 weeks, parents of Butler Middle School in Waukesha got a number of notices from administrators about bomb threats being made at the school. Now, after investigation, the Waukesha Police Department determined that the threats are not credible, but there is a grassroots advocacy group in Waukesha who think this is all connected to battles over LGBTQ issues in the district and a social media post that was on, this is on Twitter, libs of TikTok, that openly targeted an openly gay staff member at the school.
Yes.
Now, we've talked about libs of TikTok, not in great detail before, but the woman behind this is Chaya Rachik, I believe is her name. Specifically targets LGBTQ plus people. And there are ramifications for this because she has thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of followers. And people take this stuff and then they take it into their own hands and they bring it back to their own communities.
Yeah. They go and find these people.
And make their lives miserable.
Yeah. For something that they disagree on, that's not, it's usually also conflated or a lie. Or just because it lives in her brain and she doesn't like it, she makes the decision, well, I'm going to now try to ruin their life. And you said the word ramifications. There are ramifications for her actions and the fact that people act on behalf of this account and of her. But I want to start seeing the ramifications legally at some point.
You have to wonder whether or not that's going to happen. We'll see. The grassroots group is called Unwavering Waukesha, and they said beyond board policies, the hyper-politicization of the Waukesha School Board and the deep connection between multiple school board members and the Republican Party of Waukesha County continues fueling the fire of anti-LGBTQ plus community activity in our communities. In an email, Waukesha Superintendent James Siebert said the safety of all students, teachers, staff and visitors to Butler Middle School is of paramount importance, but he didn't answer questions regarding previous board and district policies and messages to all of the school board members. Again, in this article from Corrine Hess with WPR, none of them responded to her.
Of course not.
So on March 4th, this Libs of TikTok account posted two screenshots from a Butler Middle School employee's personal social media account.
Mm-hmm.
The first was him saying, acceptance, equity, and inclusion should be cornerstones of our schools. The second post on his personal social media account was a photo of him with his partner.
Yeah.
So Libs of TikTok, which had posted it on Twitter, more than 3,000 retweets, more than 800 responses. Most comments, very anti-LGBTQ, calling this educator a groomer, a predator, and a pedophile. On March 8th, Butler Middle School got its first bomb threat. Subsequent threats followed March 11th, 12th, and 14th. Again, they say there is no credibility to these threats, but at the same time, you still have to investigate these. You
yes.
Can't, right? You can't just assume.
If there is a bomb threat, that to me is a credible reason to go deeper into this. Doesn't that just make sense? If people's life, children.
clips of TikTok has 2.9 million followers. 2.9 million. Turning it into a social media phenomenon, which essentially, again, spreads anti-LGBTQ plus sentiments and is shaping public opinion. Again, when you target specific people and then with no evidence whatsoever label them as groomers mm-hmm. and pedophiles and then sick your 3 million people after them, it's terrifying.
Oh, I mean, they do it because they don't have to have any proof. They just see queer equals bad equals I'm going to say something equals I'm just on Twitter saying what I want.
Well, like, and I'm, yeah.
Why am I in trouble? Why am I? It's not my fault that they did this.
855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842 if you would like to join in the conversation or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream. We're talking about recent bomb threats at Butler Middle School here in Waukesha after one of the teachers there targeted by this group called Libs of TikTok. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on air, coming to you across the Civic Media Radio Network.
She gives me and she starts to cry. She takes a swing, man. She can't hurt. She don't mean no harm. She just don't know what else to do about it. James says,
welcome to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B coming to you live from our studio in downtown Waukesha. You can always join the conversation. Give us a call, send in a text at 855-75-CIVIC or leave a comment on the live stream if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform that Elon has ruined. We are talking about a series of bomb threats directed toward Butler Middle School. They have determined that there was nothing behind this. However, there does appear to be a connection between this group called Libs of TikTok targeting a teacher at Butler Middle School who on his own personal social media just posted about acceptance and inclusion and then included a photo of him with his partner. And that prompted this Libs of TikTok to target him, calling him a predator and a groomer and a pedophile. And now we have these bomb threats. There's no, I mean, the tie hasn't been directly connected, but I think it's a pretty fair assumption, especially because this account has almost 3 million followers and they've done this to other people.
Well, and that's the thing too, is when things like this happen, it's more likely that the target is going to suffer, like lose a job, get something, you know, lose a deal, lose something, they're going to end up having their lives ruined versus this sick, poisonous human who just, there has to be some sort of criminal. If we are currently trying to figure out whether or not the president, the former president, caused an insurrection with his words and led people down the street with his intention, mm-hmm. there has to be something on the book somewhere that says you post these things, then these things happen. Therefore, this is there has to be a connection, a conspiracy. A conspiracy is two people working together, but it seems to me there has to be something on some law, on some book, some rule somewhere that says you say these words and someone reacts on behalf of that.
But look at all the mass shootings.
I know.
As far as I know, Greg, and I'm not saying there shouldn't be something, but as far as I know, there is no legal way to go after these people. Texter listening in Oshkosh on WISS says, just another reason why who would want to be a teacher in this day and age. It's bad enough they have to spend their own money to get supplies for their own classrooms and their students. Karina from Milwaukee has been very patient. Good morning, Karina. Thanks for waiting. What did you want to say?
Good morning. I agree with you, Jane. I think that the leaders or formal leaders are giving a tone of allowance to open up your mouth on the basis of freedom of speech. But I think people need to read that portion of their rights, because you can speak for sure what you want, but you cannot accuse people in that free speech. And that's, Greg, what you're talking about. The accusations are not allowed. Yes, you can say whatever you want, but you cannot threaten or accuse somebody of something. That one. Another thing is, I want to know what's going on with the teachers' unions. Come on now. Who's protecting those people? There's got to be that situation with the female teacher and the song. I never heard that the union step up for her. She was fighting for herself all along. Now that situation. And the first question I have, I thought that calling false bomb threat is actually illegal, punishable by jail, by sentencing. Why it's not happening right now?
Well,
if I'm going to go anywhere and they're going to trace my phone number, they're going to come and they're going to have a problem with a false call, one, and two, that I'm threatening a kid, school, anybody.
Yeah.
So that.
I appreciate it, Karina. Thank you so very much. We always do really appreciate your perspective.
I think when it comes to the bomb threat and the call, there are so many avenues nowadays. You can call from a number that's not yours. It can be an undisclosed number. You can be using a VPN to say, "Oh, this person's calling from Norway," and this is absolutely no judgment on the police. But my guess is they don't have time to look into where, like, if it's a false number, they have to just, they're going to leave it at that.
Well, at least in this case, Waukesha Police Lieutenant Chad Pergande said three of the four threats came from Nigeria. One was tied to a Russian address. This from an article that Corrine Hess has in WPR. Tom from LA on the line. Good morning, Tom. We got about 2.5 minutes left. Tom, what do you want to say? You still there, Tom?
All right.
I guess we lost him.
We got a text from someone who asked to remain nameless, but they said that they know people beyond the teacher and school boards and beyond the school are receiving threats. So some parents are receiving threats, so they asked me to be nameless. But they said, my child attends Butler Middle School, and there's been a serious issue with transparency from the board and superintendent. There's been no vocal support for this educator, for the board and superintendent. The best thing we can do in Waukesha is show up to the voters booth in 2 weeks and vote out the insane incumbents.
That's a really good point.
It's a very good point.
Honestly, the only way things are going to change, my friends, is if we all get out and vote in massive, massive numbers that cannot be disputed. And there can't be these bogus claims of this was rigged because I lost.
Yep. And where do they go?
Myvote.wi.gov. Plug in your address. That's going to tell you who is on the ballot, what issues are going to be on the ballot.
Yep.
We've had a couple people ask about the two referenda that are going to be on the ballot as well. And we're going to be talking to someone from the League of Women Voters before we go to the polls on April 2nd. So we really do appreciate all of your suggestions. And if there are things you would like us to cover, you can always send them to Jane Says. Email it, Jane Says, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, at civicmedia.us. There's Tom from LA. Tom, thank you for calling back. Now we got about 90 seconds. Go ahead.
Absolutely. We the people ultimately are the government, and that includes us in the LGBTQ plus community. We pay taxes. Also, I think when it comes to anything in social media, the first thing they should actually ask for is the person puts their first and their last name down as their pseudonym or whatever it might be that to go on these services, because you'd have a lot less people saying a lot less things when they can hide under the covers. I know with myself, it's always at Tom Adler. And I also want to say thank you for the Civic Media app, being a person that actually left Wisconsin because of the fact that the whole gay thing when I was younger.
Yep.
That I just want to say thank you for the Civic Media app, because Wisconsin will always be my home. I love Wisconsin. And growing up in Durand, Wisconsin, a town of 2,000, it'll always be my home. But this Civic Media app gives me a connection still to my home roots. And like I said, I am a complete Wisconsinite, even though I live in California.
We really appreciate that, Tom. That's very, very nice of you to say. Much, much appreciated. One more quick text vote. What is wrong with the school board of Waukesha? The people of this city need to wake up and vote.
News, that's where the voting counts.
News is coming up next when we return. Luke Mathers will be here. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. Thank you so very much for joining us. Luke Mathers is our guest. We're going to get to you in just one second, my friend. If you're watching on the live stream, you can see he's saying, I'm not Calvin anymore, because he was Calvin for the last few days while our resident young person was off. So Luke had been filling in as our producer. But I want to remind folks, we have this new, very exciting statewide contest going on across the Civic Media Radio Network. So just go to your app store, download the Civic Media app, and you have until 11 o'clock, no matter where you're listening. If you're listening on WISS in Oshkosh, if you're listening on WBGW in Green Bay, WLAK in Amory, you want to go to that station and text the word music. M-U-S-I-C. Text the word music. You have until 11 o'clock. If you do that, you have a chance to win an overnight getaway to Chula Vista Resort in Wisconsin Dells. We're doing this four times a day, so one winner from every hour, 7, 10, 1, and 3. And then everyone who enters, and this will include the daily winners too, then are entered to win one of our two grand prizes. That includes brand new bicycles, a fancy 3-in-1 blender, and an outdoor patio love seat.
And we've also added a Wonder Oven. The fabulous Wonder Oven.
You throw in a Wonder Oven, and I'm going to break all the rules, and I'm entering this contest. No, you haven't.
Shane quit.
You haven't, just for the Wonder Oven. You have until 11 o'clock to text the word music, M-U-S-I-C. Download the app, and whatever station you're listening to across the state, text it to that station. And then you're going to be entered, and you'll get a little reply that says, right, Greg, that you've been entered.
Yeah, we'll get a you should get a reply, and we'll get a notification. Yeah, it's pretty simple, pretty to the point, and we want to make sure everyone does it correctly so they can be counted. And
In the drawing. Absolutely. So. All right.
Oh, really quick question. Yes. Do non-Wisconsin listeners qualify? I believe so, if you are listening.
I believe so. I mean, if you live in, I don't know, northwestern Washington State, a one-night stay at Chula Vista is a treat, but if it's worth it to you, I guess, okay.
Yeah.
But sure, you can enter.
Go for it.
All right, Luke Mathers is here joining us from the Civic Media Radio headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin. How you doing, Luke?
I'm doing well. How are you? Long time no see.
I know, right?
Yeah, right.
Actually, I want to tell you, Fancy Brian Kelly was just here, and he picked up that chew toy for Aurora. So it's on the way.
I was a terrible dog dad, and I thought I did a perimeter sweep and picked up all the toys when we left the studio yesterday there in Waukesha, but Anya notified me that I had missed one. So, and that's one of her favorites.
Is
so
it?
I was in the doghouse myself a little bit last night.
Don't take this the wrong way, because you know I think you're handsome and capable, Luke Mathers. I knew you were going to leave it here because it was on the floor and it blended in with the floor.
It's a brown, hard, you know, like an antler thing.
Yeah, it looks like
I was told it was underneath. Yeah, I was told it was underneath the table, so I think that's how I missed it, but I don't know. I don't know.
That's all right.
She was running around all over the place, but she was not too thrilled. She didn't get to come to work with me today.
Aww.
The last couple of days, she'd been traveling to Waukesha. But it was a great time. I was thrilled to be there, and now back in the headquarters, getting back to the many other projects going around now that I'm not Calvin anymore.
Yeah, there's plenty of work to be done, that's for sure. We wanted to start out. Scott Bauer from the Associated Press reported this just about 40 minutes ago, I want to say, right before we came on the air. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, in a 5-2 order, gives parties in legislative redistricting case until Thursday to respond to a motion filed by Wisconsin Elections looking for clarity on what boundaries should be in place for a potential Robin Voss recall election.
Yeah, it seemed like this was going to be the case. I'm surprised that it wasn't a unanimous decision. I haven't got to see the breakdown yet. But essentially, the Supreme Court earlier this year elected not to decide on this at that time,
right,
of which whether or not these new districts would be for recall, because there was no standing yet. There had not been a case where we knew for sure there was going to be a recall. And so the Supreme Court was essentially like, this isn't the right time for us to take that. We're going to wait on it. If it comes before us again, then we'll make those determinations. And it kind of seems like this is the first step in that process now. So they're going to have each side be able to submit their arguments. And I have a feeling, going to hear pretty quickly from the Wisconsin Supreme Court, once those arguments are in, whether or not it's going to be the old maps that were used in the last state assembly race for the 63rd Assembly District, or if it's going to be the new ones. I have my feelings, but I'm not a lawyer, so I don't know.
You're also not Calvin, so...
Yeah, I'm also, historically, not Calvin anymore and not a lawyer.
I think you're right. I mean, they have to get these in by Thursday.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's going to be another Friday late dump that we're going to get this in a late Friday news dump.
Yeah.
Because
but I also think it's not going to be that surprising. Like, the original election was for the now thrown out maps. So I have a feeling those maps are going to be the ones that the recall petition will have to be adhered to, but it will be interesting to see, I guess, exactly. To me, it just makes the most sense. I know that some people want the new district for it to be, since the other ones were thrown out, but the recall is for an election that occurred with those old maps.
Right.
My understanding would be the legal precedent would be already there for the state's highest court to say the recall is going to be adhering to the old maps, and this fall's election, both the August primary and the November general, will be under the new maps. But it's going to be interesting to see.
Well, and it's also is not fully determined yet that this recall is going to move forward yet anyway. Molly Beck in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting the Racine County DA now investigating almost 30 complaints from people who say their signatures got forged by the organizers of this recall for Robin Voss.
Ruh-roh.
Yeah, that seems bad.
Yeah, the organizers that were bringing attention back to the Toss Voss race in the fall of 2022 that were doing like a catapult, like this whole thing has been a very just interesting spectacle to watch, because it seemed like they were more interested in drawing attention to their corner of the state rather than actually defeating Robin Voss on basis of merit. They used a catapult to fling a dummy that looked like, with Voss's face taped to it, like not a very serious campaign. So I'm not completely shocked that there was maybe some forgery on some of these signatures. It's going to be interesting to see how many of, because they were very, very impressed with how many. They were like, we submitted 4,000 more signatures than we needed to. And they were so happy about submitting those, but it's, I have a feeling the growing list with the Racine DA looking into this is only going to get longer and longer of how many forgeries are on that list.
I contend, I've said this before, when you throw an event and your main speaker is Mike Lindell, that shows me how organized you are and how much you really want, quote unquote, results. Also, just wait until fall. Like, you're just, because that's the thing too, that, you know, recall elections, even on a local level, they cost municipalities money.
Yes, they cost
and
taxpayers
time.
Money.
And these DAs, these county and city clerks, they're all having to put their time and energy. And if the election happens, yeah, because it's not going to happen most likely the spring. It'll happen just on a day.
It'll be a one-off, yeah, sometime this summer.
Right.
So, so the fact that these individuals, A, hired Mike Lindell as their guy, and also the fact that they just didn't look at a calendar and say, hey, guys, why don't we just wait until fall? We can alleviate it.
But I think for the faction that want to recall Robin Voss, they need to see something getting done to support the big lie that the election was stolen, that Donald Trump lost because the election was rigged. They need to be fed that because they've been fed that stuff now for 3.5 years.
Well, the whole thing is, Hot Government is the group that's pretty involved with this. And it's honest, open, and transparent government. And they're also the individuals that were just requesting, like, illegally requesting absentee ballots for other individuals in southeastern Wisconsin. So they were having ballots be sent. They were committing crimes to show that crimes could be committed. Like, that is the extent that this group has been politically involved, is catapulting effigies and committing electoral crimes to say, hey, electoral crimes can be committed. Like,
I broke this window to show you that your window can be broken.
Yeah, it's like speeding past a county sheriff saying, hey, look, my car can go more than 70 miles an hour. It's like,
it
doesn't make a whole lot of sense when you boil it down for some of these things. So it's going to be interesting to see what the state Supreme Court has to say for which maps are going to be used and what actually signatures will count when the Racine DA looks into them all.
Fun fact, their candidate is actually the effigy they catapulted. That's who they're going to run instead because they got nothing else.
But, well, they don't have a candidate, though.
No.
They don't, unless they do, and they're just waiting in the wings.
Details.
Waiting to spring them on us, I guess. I'm not sure. Right?
Yep, that was good. That was good.
I didn't even do that. That's terrific. I didn't even do that intentionally. That just kind of happened.
It was a good one.
Going back to this article from Molly Beck in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, among the 1,300 pages of signatures submitted by the recall committee are petition circulators from across the country, including Georgia, Florida, Illinois, and Oregon. Brandon Platt is a resident of Portland, Oregon. He spent 3 weeks in Racine County helping collect signatures. He says he was recruited by a group that helps politicos in election years gather signature for a bunch of different issues. He said the organizers of the group did not direct them to add signatures that weren't obtained legally. I don't know this myself because I've never worked for a political campaign. Aren't there people in Wisconsin you could hire to knock on doors and ask people to sign this petition?
Absolutely.
Why are you hiring people from Oregon?
We have a political party in this state that's finding out-of-state candidates for all types of different elected offices. Hey-oh! So it doesn't shock me that, you know, outside of looking for candidates to run for governor from the East Coast or run for the U.S. Senate from the West Coast, that they went and found organizers from outside of Wisconsin to try to achieve these political means.
Look, I've worked on political campaigns, and when you want to be an operative, you start somewhere, and moving to another state to do work, whether it's freelance for a few weeks or a few months, or you're getting on a campaign for a year, That's not out of the blue.
That's very common.
And him coming from Oregon, maybe he's just trying to make money or whatever. But an election like this, if your candidate is worth their salt, they're going to inspire enough people to volunteer and knock on doors.
This just feels like somebody's unemployed nephew in Oregon. Let's put Charlie to work for a couple of weeks. He can use the money.
They get paid MyPillows. They got paid MyPillows.
The work's fine, but you just can't be the one to sign those signatures.
No,
because
exactly.
The signatures have to come from residents of the area that you're trying to do the recall. So it's just like not understanding it.
Details.
Did he try to even say like, well, I lived there for 3 weeks, so I technically had residency.
I'm a resident. Yeah, it doesn't work that way. Yeah. All right. Luke Mathers will still be here when we return. Stay close. Speaking of that California guy running against...
I didn't say anybody from California.
That California landowner?
Who are you talking about?
That guy. We'll talk about him. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't judge me. I can see clearly when you're gone. I say.
Jane Matner, Greg Buck, Calvin, coming to you from our studio in downtown Waukesha. We're joined by our friend and colleague, Luke Mathers, joining us from the world headquarters in downtown Madison. And we're going to talk a little bit about the California guy running against Senator Tammy Baldwin, Eric Hovde, in the news.
Axe thrower, lake diver,
yeah, right.
Beer fan?
Lake diver is giving him too much credit. Lake sitter.
Homebrewer. You have to say homebrewer.
Oh, yeah.
Because if he's drinking any alcohol himself, I hope to goodness that he distilled it or brewed it himself, according to some of his 2017 comments, I believe.
Well, at that...
2012. Oh, no, 2017. It was 2017.
Yeah, at that mansion he's got in California, I'm sure there's a whole room dedicated to a still. You would think.
Absolutely.
Or at least one bathtub. At least one bathtub for the gym.
At least one. New article from Bruce Murphy in Urban Milwaukee with the headline, How Hovde Evaded Federal Taxes. He said he wants to stop what his firm did, paying zero federal taxes on investments.
What?
I know.
We need a dun, dun, dun.
I think we have one.
You know what?
We do.
I think that somebody should... You know, invest in the IRS and make sure these millionaires are paying their fair share.
Wouldn't that be a good idea? Just to
I feel like that would be good.
Close some of these loopholes and make sure that they're actually paying what they should. I don't know that this is illegal, though. Yeah, at least in this article, this is in Urban Milwaukee by Bruce Murphy. Between 2003 and 2013, Hovde's asset management company reported non-controlling investments worth over $74 million in more than a dozen Bermuda-based insurance companies. Conveniently, Bermuda does not have a corporate income tax and has even offered tax assurance certificates.
Sounds real credible.
To ensure that holders temporary insulation should that ever change. Because we want to protect you guys who are not paying corporate taxes. We want you to be all nice and snugly here in Bermuda.
Yeah. So senator from possibly California or Bermuda running here in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah.
That's,
I mean, again, he's not denying it. His campaign doesn't deny any of this. His campaign spokesperson passes this all off as a ridiculous attack by liberals because Democratic Senator Tammy Baldwin can't run on her own record as a nearly 40-year career politician and a rubber stamp for the Biden agenda.
And that statement goes along with that young man, Ben Vogel is his name.
Mm-hmm.
When the whole alcohol thing came out,
mm-hmm.
his was Eric Hovde is the man for Wisconsin. And when you look at the voting record of Tammy Baldwin, it's all foam and no beer. This guy must be, I asked you earlier in the show, Jane, or earlier before we got on the air, you said they have to buy the lie because this is some of the biggest lying there is out of all. Every time he speaks, he's always saying Tammy Baldwin's done nothing. She has no record. It's like she just in one shot brought $3 billion to this state. One thing. And that's just on top of the heap of things she has done for the state.
And we've talked about this before, Luke, as well. So far in all of the messaging I've seen from Hovde, there is nothing concrete as far as policies.
It's all platitudes.
It is. It's all platitudes and all very general things. And I saw one thing that showed up on my Twitter feed that was like, you know, faith, family, hard work, dedication. And I'm like, do you want to be an elected official or are you advertising your services as a life coach? Because they seemed pretty similar to me. You're not offering anything workable.
No, so this feels like Tim Michaels 2.0.
Absolutely.
Very much. Tim Michaels was an empty suit in 2022 that he ran on very similar platitudes of vote for me because I'm asking you to vote for me kind of thing.
And I'm not them.
Right. Washington is corrupt. Things like that, right? Running on just these platitudes where Tammy Baldwin has delivered for the state of Wisconsin when she has a ally in the White House and when she has a political opponent in the White House.
Yes.
Like during the Donald Trump administration, Tammy Baldwin got more legislation passed than Ron Johnson of the same political party of Donald Trump. So to say that Tammy Baldwin has not been an effective senator for Wisconsin is either you're an ostrich burying your head in the sand or you're lying. Like Greg said, you're buying into the lie because Tammy Baldwin has delivered for the state of Wisconsin time and time again. But for Tim Michaels 2.0 to come in, our friend Dan Schaefer over at the recombobulation area made the comparison in 2022 of Tim Michaels to Bobby Newport, who is Paul Rudd's character on Parks and Rec. He wants to run for the city council. I can't shake that comparison. Hats off to Dan for saying it back when it was applicable to Tim Michaels. I think it's super applicable to Eric Hovde as well, where it's like, I'm Bobby Newport. Please vote for me. And that's it. Like, that's all it is. It's a bunch of platitudes, an empty suit. He's going to run on saying, hey, I'm going to bring these four words. These four words are why I'm running. And I've got a lot of money to spend to get these four words in front of you. And that's why you should vote for me.
And then
we're going to find out. Go ahead, Greg.
I think of Bobby Newport just saying, come on, give it to me. Give it to me. Just give it to me.
I just want to be the city council person.
And it all makes sense to me, though. Ben Vogel, it makes sense to me because Tammy Baldwin has done so much. Ben Vogel says Tammy Baldwin has nothing. But let us not forget, the senior senator from Wisconsin, Ron Johnson, has said the number one job of the Senate is to actually do nothing.
Well,
those are his those are his words. The job of the Senate is to do nothing, which he is doing, chef's kiss, a great job at.
He's really excelled.
And if we're looking at candidates, then yes, Eric Hovde is the man for the job if you want nothing to happen done in the Senate.
Just to wrap this up quickly, again, from Urban Milwaukee, Bruce Murphy. In 2012, in Hovde's last run for the Senate, he ran an ad criticizing big corporations that pay nothing in federal taxes. Go figure.
That's interesting because didn't the 2012 election take place that time frame that the Bruce Murphy articles, was it 2003 to 2013?
Yeah,
that's weird.
Yeah, it is weird. We will put this the link to this article in the show notes if you want to read it for yourself. Luke Mathers, thank you so very much for making time for us.
Always a pleasure, Jane.
It was great to see you. All right, stay close. We have news on the way next when we return. Shrinkflation. Real life experiences.
The water was cold!
With shrinkflation, not shrinkage, shrinkflation. Oh, sorry. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.